it's really anything where you use technology in relation to sexuality. So that could be related to pleasure, well-being, dating, health, education. Yeah, and the list goes on. Some really normalized ones, such as all the dating apps that are really part of culture now, and then right up to things that we haven't really seen in the mainstream, such as AI sex robots.
How does someone seek connection to something like AI and these robots that are so realistic?
Yeah. Well, you know, some people might say it's a glorified masturbation device, but when, you know, if the technology is really there so that she, and I'll say she because most of them have been put in a female form, they're being really marketed to men at the moment. Mm. If she's answering back and giving you compliments, asking how your day went, you can start to form a bond and feel like there's a real consciousness in there that you can form an attachment to.
They can be quite realistic, but for anyone that hasn't seen them, Ella, how would you describe them and just how, I guess, real they can be?
Well, admit I've had a look at what's available, and at the low end for about $3,000 to $5,000, they just look like a doll that sort of bobs their head around. but apparently the technology is really getting up there where you would be, you know, from the back think that's a real person and, you know, can look quite realistic, which is, you know, brings up a few sort of funny feelings, doesn't it, when you see these realistic dolls being used for sex like that.
They're not really too different when you think of what we traditionally have been using when we talk about vibrators and things like that as well. So it's just evolving from in a new way.
Yeah, it's like a vibrator matched with Siri. Yeah.
Now, we know loneliness is particularly one of the world's biggest issues right now, and certainly leading in Australia. Do you think these sex tech companies are just taking advantage of that?
Well, I guess there's the risk of that, that people then get used to having that doll there. They have a sense of connection through that doll, but then that stops them going out and pursuing real world connection. Mm. But, you know, maybe there's some benefits to that of people that are desperately lonely, and perhaps that gives them some company and the feeling of self-esteem. Someone's telling them how amazing they are, even if it's a doll.
Ella, could you see this being the future? We're talking about sex robots specifically, but is there a concern that maybe they might replace our sex workers?
I guess that is a point. I think there'll always be a longing for real human touch. You know, I'm sure they can make the dolls warm and feel like a real person, but I guess nothing can really take away from that heart-to-heart connection. And there's many sex workers that are very good at offering authentic, caring service to people.
Now, in the space of sex tech and the digi-sex world, there's a phrase that's now being used called digi-sexuals, which is something I hadn't heard before, Ella, but tell me what this is.
Well, as I understand it, it's when people are attracted to robot or digitalized form of sexuality. Mm. So it could be the attraction to your AI doll, but it can just be feeling that your sexual preference is online, whether that's through connecting with another person on another computer somewhere or through the numerous ways you can get sexy online these days.
There are some porn sites that I was reading that are collecting your data and using smarter algorithms to provide content, even down to the particular scene and position within the video. That's how the algorithm is working on some of these sites. I mean, that's just showcasing how precise, I guess, this AI tech can be. Is it scary or convenient?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bit of both. I mean, how lovely to get the exact sort of thing you want to watch when you want to watch something, right? Like, oh, thank you. Didn't have to go through all the things I didn't like. But certainly there's a concern then that it's really feeding into people's wish to continue to consume. And porn is a wonderful tool for masturbation. There's nothing inherently wrong or unhealthy about it. However, utilizing it too much can cause issues sometimes for people.
I'm Jess Naunton, and today on Risky Business, you're hearing from sex and relationship therapist Ella Shannon, who is also the national chair of the Society of Australian Sexologists, and we're learning a little bit more about this industry called sex tech. There's also the use of deepfake in sex videos as well, which can be particularly concerning if you're not aware that your imagery is being put on this deepfake or on this video or image, almost like revenge porn in a way. How worried should we be when it comes to that?
You know, I really think our laws have to really hurry up and have a really good look at ethics and consent around this stuff. You know, it's deepfake. It's not even necessarily a real person, but there hasn't been an opportunity to say no or yes. So consent is out the window. And so it becomes extraordinarily complex. Similarly with the robots, they are programmed to always say yes to whatever you want to do to them. And so there's consent for that machine, which seems like a funny thing to think about, but I think it's worth a discussion and actually exploring, what makes this robot not a person and just usable. It gets deep.
Do you think sex tech is our future, or do you think it's going to change intimacy?
Yeah, well, it's here. You know, sex tech is a multi-billion-dollar industry already, and there's so much benefit that can come of it. Like if we're talking about AI robots and people with, disabilities where they can't be sexual on their own, or aged care where people still want to be sexual but don't have a way to facilitate that. Mm. Like I was sort of daydreaming about self-cleaning robots so people can still be sexual and then the staff don't have to do any cleaning up because that's, who then does helpful. That? It's tricky. So there's lots of benefits. However, we do need to really catch up with how we think about this stuff ethically. One of a concern that's out there is that if robots become normalized, will it increase misogynistic attitudes that, women should be ready whenever they want, whenever the person wants, up for anything, always saying yes. It's a robot, you can do anything to it. So it's kind of what we do with this tech that's concerning. But there's also education that can come from it. If you'd programmed a doll to teach consent and pleasure, you could actually use this to help people be wonderful lovers and much more considerate lovers. So it just depends which way we use it, isn't it? My favourite sex tech is an app, and it's all about women's pleasure. And it came from a study where they really looked at, okay, we know where the clitoris is, but what actually feels good to women. And they created this content where it's little pieces of text and then the women describing what they do, and then it warns you, and then they show, and then on the phone or the device it shows you the vulva and you get to practice the different techniques, and it looks like the skin's moving around. It's like, that is so neat. So like there's some exciting ways that technology can be used for education and teaching pleasure as well.
So not to be fearful just yet.
Yeah.